This week, excerpts from the 1974 Bush Justice Conference in Minto. This is Jeff Kennedy. The third Bush Justice Conference starts in Kenai the first week in October. One of the purposes of the conference will be to find out what problems have been solved since the last such conference, the one held in June 1974 in Minto. So, on this program, we look back to some of the concerns mentioned by some delegates. First, from Barrow, Representative Brenda Itta, who says one injustice in the bush has been taking children away from their homes to send them to school.
I'd like to talk about the children. Children are always a part of a family. We all accept that for a fact. And it has been a law, state law, that all children who reach school age, they're all required to go to school. And most of the villages in the state of Alaska have schools that go only up to the eighth grade. And most of the villages do not have any higher education beyond the eighth grade. And this is where I feel that the fine threads of a family structure start breaking, is when the child at the early age of 13 is sent away from home. Therefore, the threads of a family structure are broken. And then when the children come home from school, the parents, first of all, the parents don't have a choice but to send their children away from home because it's part of the law that's imposed on them. And then when the child is away from home, he or she comes back into a village, and they find it very, very hard to communicate sometimes with the parents. They might have experienced some very, very bad things, you know, in going through high school. And the way to top it off, the way that they're taught in school is not related to the way of life in a village. Many times the child comes home with very, very severe problems. And one of the problems that we find right now is the drinking problem. And a lot of hard dope addict problems that the child comes home with as part of their education. And it's very, very hard for the people in the villages, the elderly people, to understand that here is the federal government, here's the state government. They come in here to help them, assist them in rearing their child. And I feel that this system alone of taking the child away from the family robs our men in the villages of manhood. And the women also are robbed of their God-given right to motherhood because of these laws that are imposed upon us. And I feel that the state of Alaska government has never lived up to its obligation to the Indians, Eskimos, and Aleuts in ensuring that there be education for our children at a place close to home. Every time we start lobbying for state funds for education, it's always a great big hassle. It seems like it's a fight between rural areas and the urban areas. And it's many times a problem of attitude, prejudice, and discrimination. And it would really, I feel, be neat if the urban people and the administration, present administration, would really feel that it's an honor for any state in the United States to have four distinct cultures. No other state in the union has this. I think that our state of Alaska is very rich culturally, and we all should be proud of it. Instead of looking down on the Indians, Eskimos, and Aleuts, I think the state government should be very proud to be rich culturally this way. Another problem, looking at it from the community viewpoint, as far as the councils are concerned, I was talking to a few people, And aside from taking the child away from home, this also creates a problem of human resources in the village. Many times, some of the older children are needed at home to help the elderly or their parents who may be unable at times or another to go out and hunt for food. And this also creates a hardship to the parents. So sending the children away from home creates a human resource problem in the village. Frankly, as far as this conference is concerned, the Conference on Bush Justice, to ask, is there justice in the bush as it relates to the protection of the family? I don't think so.
Brenda Itah, an Eskimo from Barrow, who's had experiences similar to those of an Athabascan from Minto, Floyd Alexander.
I agree with Brenda, because I haven't seen any bush justice in all my grown-up years. And I'm glad to see that something is trying to be done about it now. I grew up somewhat away from home. I went away from home when I was 13. I know there was more kids than this went away from home when they were 8 and never returned till they were 19 or 20. They had to leave home because there was no other place to go to school. And when they came back, they didn't have, they didn't pay respect to their family like they should have. Like if they was home from when they were smaller. They didn't have respect for the elder. I've seen it not only here in Minto, but I've been around Alaska quite a bit. And I've spent 8 years outside. And I've seen Indians outside who had the same problem. Kids who had to leave home too early and didn't have no respect for their family when they came back and grew up. I think this is one thing that destroys the family as a whole.
Oh.
Ian and Sylvia. Another Bush Justice story now. Bush Justice delegates in 1974 also found unjust bureaucratic restrictions inhibiting Native peoples who wanted to adopt Native children. Georgiana Lincoln from Rampart explained.
When the question is raised, well, show me statistics, again, Brandon, show me statistics of Native people that want to adopt children and where they have been refused. Native people have never gone to courts to adopt children. If one family could not take care of a child, then the aunt or uncle or grandmother or grandmother or one member of the family always took care of the child. So when we say adopt, what does adopt mean? We take care of our people. We don't adopt. We care for one another. And I think that we could bear out statistics if that's what is needed. But I think by the time we get to finding out what happened, as Judge Quinn said, the child is already gone, and it's too late. One other comment that I, final comment quick that I'll make, is that there was a small child that was about 3.5 years old that was coming to Fairbanks for medical attention. And I happened to know or be acquainted with that little boy. He was a Native boy. He was in a foster home in one of the villages. I knew his foster mother. And I said, I'd love to take care of that little boy while he's in getting medical attention. And they said, no, Georgiana, you can't. And I said, why can't I? I can give him love temporarily, and he would know it's temporary, and I would know it was. They said, you don't have a fire extinguisher in your home. I said, a what? I don't have that for my own children. And they said, well, you should have one. And so I called down to Juno and I said, I want this 3.5-year-old boy for a while. And they said, you can't because you haven't gone through the normal procedure, the requirements, or whatever they call it. And I called around to Fairbanks, and finally I came to the conclusion that, by golly, I couldn't get that 3.5-year-old. And they saw it best that he be sent with a white family. But don't worry about that, Georgiana, because he has 2 other Native children, so he won't be alone. And I said, thanks.
Again, Floyd Alexander from Minto.
There are a lot of Alaskan Natives, Eskimos, and Aleuts that are capable of adopting children. I know that for a fact because I myself adopted one Aleut little girl. I've kept her ever since she was 3 days old, and she's as healthy as she'll ever be. So I just wanted to mention the fact that Indians, Eskimos, Aleuts, or whatever you may be, are not capable of adopting. You are. I could not emphasize any more on this matter because I get a little nervous talking to people I never see before in my life. Thank you.
One person qualified to speak of the legal aspects of adoption, as well as the traditional Native way of adopting children, is Judge Nora Gwynn of Bethel.
Many people took children into their homes, and this was purely voluntary in those days. We didn't have pay. We still have a great many people that are interested enough to come and ask if they can help with certain children. And we get this input from the villages. We use our council members in the villages, and they're interested in helping because they're not interested in sending their kids to Fairbanks or Anchorage or even to Bethel. So that's the way we do it, just briefly. We get out and dig around to see who we can find who's interested, and I believe that many folks have come to Blue Reese. We find people in the villages that are willing to help. We use the I'm real happy to say at this time that we do have a person in Imahnik that is giving us a great deal of help. He's appointed by council, and I think he thought he was going to get paid for a while, but he didn't. And he's doing this on a voluntary basis for Lou Reese and myself, even in the closer villages such as Sheldon's Point and Alakanuk, in keeping track of a child once we get him back into the home and working with the family. We also use the human services aides that are Native people that are working for the state social services that are interested enough to... So we utilize everyone, even the health aides.
Michael Murphy. Now commentary from Father Titus Peter of Fort Yukon.
I feel that of the children that are taken away from home, most of them would rather stay at home. And according to Mr. Titus, in the case of his child, this was the case. To me, a white man's reason of love is 3 meals a day and a place to sleep with the clothing to wear. I feel that the only real, honest to goodness love that a child gets is from the parents. And the love that they get from the foster parents is usually love out of obligation, a love out of pity, or a love out of something. To me, this is, I call this a pseudo love. It's not a real love that the kid and the child can sense, just such love. And no matter how good this child is being taken care of, he still grows up in a home feeling very much out of place.
The juvenile intake officer from Fairbanks, Pat Aloya, suggested that people sometimes blame bureaucrats unduly for problems native people themselves, he says, should control.
There are, you know, many things said indicating that social workers go out to accomplish one thing, and that's to go ahead and rip off the children. You talked about having a strong council. If you had a strong council in the villages, they wouldn't permit that kind of thing to go on. If you had a strong council in the villages, they will go ahead and handle their own problems. We had one gentleman back here that from Dot Lake, a chief that indicated that, you know, there's a lot of changes that have come about. True. All right, so do we go ahead and learn from what the past mistakes have been and go on for the future? See, I'm really starting to wonder what this conference is all about. You know, are we here to go ahead and, you know, throw out emotionalism, point fingers and say, you know, you, because of the color of your skin, have caused the ills on me, or are there some accountability? You know, have things come about and come to be the way they are with absolutely no involvement on the part of, you know, native people? Have things come to the stages that they are, that there's absolutely no accountability that the native people have? Have they been in a position where they're manipulated, where they have somebody has a string attached to them and they pull them any way they want to go? I think there's a certain recognition that's come about. There's been some very terrible things that have happened in the state. Are we going to learn from it, or are we going to grow from it? Are we going to go on from here and recognize what the failings have been in the past, and are we going to learn to make it a better future? Or are we going to chronically go ahead and rationalize and point the finger and accomplish nothing?
Now responding to Pat Aloya.
Marie Haley, I'm from Holy Cross. And we're talking about, you know, Native people. Well, I'll talk about Native people, how it was in the 50s and the 60s. The canneries were running, and a lot of people from all over Alaska went to the canneries. The mothers took care of the family. Well, when it was good and ready time for Dad to come home, where we were going? We were going to Edgecombe, because that was the school to better us in our education. Well, at the age of 14, when you lose both your parents the year round, or you just have one to depend on, you have to try to make it, you know. So you try to do your best you can. But when we see kids that aren't making it, maybe we didn't have the, you know, we didn't have it when we should have had it, because our schools weren't there in the villages where they should have been. There's a lot of new people that have gone to high school. I'm talking about high school. I'm not talking about college or anything. You went around the block where we had to go down to southeastern Alaska in a different environment and then come back and adjust ourselves at the age of 18. Now, what happened to our youth there when we were supposed to have, you know, you're talking about parents loving this whole bit. Now, that's not our fault if we wanted that education. Sure, we said, let's go. But when we came back, we were too old. I mean, I'm not going to stay with Mom and Dad at the age of 18 after you gave me this education to go out and, you know, make a living for myself. Now, there's a lot of youth that feel the same way as I do. And I just like to bring that up for some people that come from these beautiful states and they don't know what we're talking about here. Or at least I think they don't understand why, you know, some of us feel like this.
Matthew Titus of Minto suggests Native parents cannot always cope with the outside influences on their children.
We love kids. Now, I've got 5 adopted kids right now today. This Muslim is growing up. You know what happened? There were 3 turn out good. The other 3 didn't turn out so good. The adopted kids. The way I found out that the kids, when we send them away, get contact with the other kids and see them, the other kids, what they're doing. They break right in there and try to do the same thing what the other kid is doing. And I can't get it out of them. I have to deal with, see the other kids, what they're doing. Most of my wife. There were 2 kids that were pretty dire. The doctor said they were not going to die in a month. My wife says, I can pull, make them pull through. She got down right down on her knees and make them 2 kids pull through. They were supposed to die. Now they're living. They're 22 and 25. They're taller than me. I couldn't talk back to them. Because they're bigger than me. And there's a lot of problems that we got. These married people here, they're having a problem with their family. But what can they do? They pick up things from the other people. The other kids come and have booze and give it to the other kid, even their underage. That's where all the problems come in. They give it to the other one. This poor people got a bunch of kids and they can't control it. That kind of problem. What we have, problem drinking problem, that dope problem. Now we got kids that we can't tell nothing to them. Most of us are religious people, but what can we do? We talk and talk, we don't do much good.
Matthew Titus from Minto. We've been listening to excerpts from the Bush Justice Conference held in Minto in June of 1974. This is Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening. Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.